I would like to look back in 10 years and say we made the right decision. And to some of you, regardless of what the decision, you're going to say it was right, depending on which way we go. But if we go the other way, then some of you are going to say it's right. We end with something that grows with us. We're putting pickleball courts in now into the community center. We've refurbished the dog park. We've tried to build and put in improvements in as we were able to do. And we are now at a point where I believe we have a decision to make whether we want to go with something that will last us for many, many years, and not just physically. I mean the growth of the town itself. We're sitting roughly at 15,000, I think, build out for the town is roughly 19,000. So that's room for more coming in. I believe as we dig into this a little bit more, that we're going to be able to dig some of the prices out. I did ask some of the questions, if you recall, of our town manager that said, why do we have certain things in here, but we didn't have them before. He's clarified that, and I'm happy with the clarification. Thank you very much. And I know he's done his diligent work along with the financial people. But I think there will be ways that we can dig in. We're just looking at an estimated number at its raw value without ever negotiating anything. We have ADA in there. It's required on the bathroom. But do we have to do them day one? Can we put that off for a year or two or three? Those are the questions that are unanswered to me. Again, only an estimate. And I'll say again, passion. But I think we have the money. And therefore, I would like to make a motion that we proceed with the RFP. And for those that don't know, what I'm saying is that I'm making a motion that says we are going out to look for bids so we get an actual dollar figure, which is what we started to do on this. And I regret that it takes a little more time. I do regret it. It has taken time, but sometimes it takes time to get what you need or what you want. So the RFP is nothing more than going out and asking for a bid. In the quote, it shows an estimate of $2,500 additional dollars to get those RFPs. And I'm guessing about 6 weeks. That's a guess. Don't hold me to that. But 6-8 weeks. With COVID, it could be a little bit more. If we get lucky, it might be a little less. But I want to make sure everybody understands what that motion meant.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table. We have a second. I'll go ahead and second that motion. So we have a motion.
I'd like to discuss the motion now that's been made and seconded, please.
Go ahead, Director Graves.
Thank you very much. So we've been going on 2 years now waiting for the data. Three board members voted to spend $70,000 to get an accurate estimate so that we can make a decision. And all along we kept hearing, we need more data, we need more data. Now that we have the data, I am confused why we don't believe the data.
If I can
answer. Why did we spend $70,000 why did we spend $70,000 to get a professional estimate, which we should have, I get that, because we have to know what the numbers are. But now that we have it, if we don't like it, we don't believe it. I'm confused.
Can I speak now?
Go ahead, Director.
Yes, please.
Okay. We have an estimate. I don't care if it's professional or not. It's an estimate. And when we asked for the estimate, I was president last year, and I had said, estimate isn't what we're looking for. It's the final figure. As I said, when we get the bids, there will be bids more than likely $200,000-$400,000 difference between the two. So the estimate, again, as I had mentioned, is probably padded to make sure that they are not missing anything. There are also the opportunities to look at things that may not have to be put in day one, that could be put in year two, year three, as we're doing with the wastewater plant. The vision of trying to look at this big pool doesn't change much from the vision that you had as a board member, Director Graves, back in 2013 when your board voted to buy the community center. And I think it was a good move. we didn't have a plan for how you were gonna pay for everything in this, and we've struggled a bit to get that paid off, but we've done it. You took the strong move to moving you along with four other board members, and it's worked, and we've made it work, and we're continuing to make it work. And it's a struggle as a board to find the money that we need to put into the pockets and the places that we need, but it worked, and I think we're at the same crossroad right now.
I'd like to add a couple comments. I'm equally confused because on the almost 2 years I've been on this board, every time we had a major decision, a capital improvement project, a repair, we've counted on third-party vendors, consultants, to do due diligence on our behalf, and we've accepted those results. In fact, tonight, after this particular agenda item, we're going to be talking about three other agenda items where a consultant had given us a number of what they anticipate the cost to be. So why is this any different? Why is this third-party vendor not treated the same as the other wastewater vendors that we've hired? Why are we not accepting their numbers? They're professionals. They're giving us estimates. Their estimates are based on however many years they've been in service, however many pools they've constructed. So I think the data is there, and I think the data is at a point where this board owes the community a decision tonight.
So I think a decision will be rendered tonight, but you've made yourself very clear from day one, Director Goodell, you have made it clear that you wanted the regular pool. You had nothing to do with the big pool, so I understand why you're challenging what I'm saying. When we get a bid from one of the subcontractors in the wastewater, we have a committee that goes through it. We analyze it, we scrutinize it, we understand it. And it's a bid, not a quote. In some cases, you may call it a quote, but it's a bid. And we go through that thoroughly before we present to the board. In this case, from day one, as we've gone through this, it's been estimate after estimate after estimate. And I think each time we've come up with an estimate, your belief is, that's good for me, I'm good, I understand. You made yourself clear last meeting when you said, we've already talked about this a year ago. Yes, we did, but we had to go down the path to get where we are today. Time is something that I wish I could give you, but in some cases, it just takes time.
My position has been upfront from the get-go, but the reason my position has been upfront is has nothing to do with the cost of the pool. It's the financial viability of Zone 8 and what it can afford. My decision and my comments strictly come from the budget, how much revenue comes in, and the fact of the matter is there is not enough funds to maintain a larger pool at the bequest of the rest of the community and the other things that we'd like to see in place. Tonight I heard from many residents saying they want more things for their children and for their families. I agree with that. As a local realtor, I want that no more than anybody else. I just have an issue with spending all the available funds on one particular item when that money can be spread out to several potential solutions within this community.
And that's the question, what are the other solutions? I don't know what they are. But the added cost, I know you're worried about the added cost, but your staff has given you the figures, $15,000, that's $1,300 a year. $15,000 a month, I'm sorry, $1,300 a month that it's gonna cost us, big pool versus small pool. And that's not that expensive in the realm of things. It's not a big jump. I think a lot of people thought one of the residents had said 40%. It's not 40%, it's 15,000. And I think Frank Byzantine gave it. It was, to be exact, $15,431 a year more. We can afford that.
Let me clarify myself. You're correct. And it's not necessarily the cost of the operation of the pool. It's the amount of resources that it takes from Zone 8. The community center, we all know there's no hidden numbers there. The community center sucks up almost half of the amount of money that that the county gives us every year just to maintain the rest of the community.
I agree with you. You are absolutely correct, and it will continue to suck up at a rate just $15,000 a year less if we go to the regular pool, so I don't see that is the deciding factor. It is a challenge. I've said that. It is a challenge, but we are searching for other ways.
Go ahead, Director.
Can I say something here? So, Director Mayor, now you're hanging your hat on a pure estimate. of what revenues are going to be. If anything is grabbing at straws, it's those estimates. We have no idea with any sort of backed up data how much money either option is going to bring in. So now you're backing up your argument on pure estimates when you don't want to believe professional estimates. I find that not inconsistent.
I take the professional.
Also, I'm curious about something because Director Mayor makes a very good point, and I'm caught off guard here. Where's this $365,000 that Director Mayor came up with that we weren't told about? Where's that come from, staff?
360.
Where's that come from? That's not on our presentation here. He just told us that we have $360,000 more, or basically 20% of the pool cost covered someplace else. Where'd that come from?
In the budget we put in $360,000 for the pool this year. We have that money was paid for by funds that we had for the community center. And it's actually $331,000 that we have in an account. And that's what was always put aside to pay for the pool renovations. Prior to that, it was always going to have pool renovations were going to be paid for.
So those are the monies that are in the budget for the current, for the refurbishment of the pool with some contingency in there, is that correct?
Yes. That number was done a few months ago when we had an estimate.
My issues go back to, well, first of all, this is one of the, we're back to, in my 11 years on the board, this is, I'm again at that point where we're making one of the toughest decisions we've ever had to make as a board, no matter who was on the board, and I just want to acknowledge that. It's tough for all of us. I've lived here since 94. If I didn't care about this town, I would not be putting myself on the firing line on this board as I have for the last 11 years, trying to make good decisions for the town. So I care, is what I'm trying to say. And I want to see progress as much as anybody else. But I need to go back to, and I acknowledge, and thank you, Director Mayor, for acknowledging the decision we made, because that was a tough decision to purchase this. But we purchased the entire community center for $800,000. It was a steal. That's why we made the decision. That and the fact that we knew that it was going to lose money, but yet we knew that we were going to have $1 million plus coming in from the Hoffman money that could be used to backfill the things that weren't getting done because money from Zone 8 was going to support the community center. We are not going to have that opportunity. In fact, we don't know what kind of a financial bind. If we spend every dime we have and more, because we don't have the 1.8, and I have to say, Director Mayor, I've been in construction for 30 years, and I rarely see bids come in lower than estimates. They may. I'm not going to say, I can't tell you for a fact it won't, but I don't think that we can hang our hat on that. I think we need to look at the numbers we have. We have to trust the people that we paid a lot of money to give us these estimates, and then we have to say, so we're close. We don't quite have it all covered according to the numbers you've come up with. We're, we're $100,000 short, something like that, maybe a little less. But we're still short. So we still have to take money from someplace else to make this happen. If there's no cost overruns, if there's no improvements in the parking lot, if there's no other things that have to go on, and I don't know if they will, they may not. But the point is that, I don't know if you guys can still hear me, can you?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm having to work remotely because of where I am right now, so I had a little technical problem here. So anyway, what I want to know is if we spend all of this money on the pool, and even if we have all the money, let's just say we do have all the money, and we don't have to figure out where we're going to come up with money that we don't have. What are we going to do about all the deferred maintenance that we've neglected over the last 5 years to maintain the community center? Where's that money going to come from? We can't grab any more Zone 8 money because we're going to be using it all. So where how do we maintain the rest of the town if we spend every cent and more that we're getting from the Hoffman money on the pool?
Okay, so let me answer that this way, that we didn't have this Hoffman money 2 years ago, and we were doing it. We weren't falling behind. It was a struggle. I told you that before. I understand that. If we spend the bulk, if not all of this money on this new big pool, we're right back to where we were 2 years ago prior to the Hoffman money, still struggling to try to make it work. But we're aware of the issues and we're working. I'm sorry, let me finish. We're aware of the issues and we're working. We're looking at rezoning. We're looking at other alternatives that will bring us the necessary revenue to try to keep up with this. As it was mentioned earlier, we are going back through Diane Burgess's office and we're trying to get more money out of the county to help cover the costs that we have on the landscaping. One thing I do want to say while it's fresh on my mind, though, is that regardless, if we're close, you're right. I say 50,000, you say 100,000. I think we're close enough. This will not cost, and please, staff, jump in if I'm making a statement that's wrong, but it, as it stands, the way I see this money, if we go to the big pool, it costs the residents nothing. No additional fees on their rates, no additional taxes. We aren't a tax base, we're an unincorporated county. If we do have to go borrow $100,000, $50,000, yes, we can borrow out of our own reserve accounts. Not that much when you worry about the earthquake. I know that was mentioned. And we pay it back to ourselves, and I think the interest goes back to ourselves as well. So no money out of the residents' pocket, and it's no money out of any place but paying ourselves back. And that could be over a 2-year, 5-year, 10, whatever we so elect. No change to the pocketbooks of the community.
Where do you get that money? Where's the revenue to pay that loan back?
I believe right now when we're sitting at, I'm saying 50,000, we don't have all of that right now, so when I refer to 100,000, the last payment is in 2023, so we would probably have to take some money out so that we could pay this off, assuming they finish the pool within the certain time. We pull another Hoffman payment next December, $130,000, $140,000. That helps us if the pool is not put in by then. Then we only have two payments left of about $300,000. I think the payments in 2022, 2023 would help pay that off. $50,000, I think we can come up with that under some other means and looking at it. I think Parks and Recreation, you guys have been looking at all the benefits you've got to do. That's the struggle right now. It's Parks and Recreation and landscaping. So I think you're doing an analysis in the committee to try to figure out how to get better service out of the money that we have. I don't know if that answered. I hope it did.
Well, no, I appreciate that. And this is a discussion. That's why we're having this, and I appreciate the response. I do want to clarify one thing you said, because Brian and I have been on the landscape committee now through a couple of different landscape managers, and we've been hearing we weren't doing fine before. The reason landscaping is in as bad a shape as it is right now is because it's been neglected because of lack of funds. Our previous landscape manager said over and over again when we confronted him with why does it look like crap, and this was 3 or 4 years ago, not just recently, the answer was we don't have enough money. The money's all going to the community center. So we were, that's the point. We were already having deferred maintenance on landscaping for years because of the drain of the community center waiting for the Hoffman money to come in. That's my understanding.
Yeah.
I don't want to be argumentative, but that's my understanding.
And I'll correct you on the one thing. I know we probably disagreed on this, but you said you were waiting for $1 million from Hoffman, but back in 2013, it was $630,000, someplace in there. You may have proposed that with interest by the time they paid off, maybe you had a crystal ball, but you weren't looking at quite that much. And the $600,000 wouldn't have lasted that much longer. My point, Director Graves, and to the rest of the board and residents, is I think this is a doable thing, and what I'm asking
tonight.
That's
wrong, by the way, but okay.
Okay. I'm asking for the board to consider spending another $2,500. That is it's big money, I know it, but it's small in comparison to how far we've come with what we've spent already to get the final notice and then see if we can make this work. If we can't, I'm with you, but I think we've got to get through tonight.
Okay.
All right.
So where are my documents that show $2,500 for an RFP? I missed that.
I'll let staff show that. It's on one of the slides that you've got here. The first, I've got it right here. Option two, estimated new pool project. Option two, cost of
RFP development.
No, that's not it. That's the RFP. Yeah, RFP development, $2,500. And while you're looking at it,
unfortunately, Director Mayor, unfortunately, right now, because I had to leave the barracks that I was in, I don't have my computer in front of me, and I can't see the numbers right now. That's why I asked that.
Okay. It is part of the, if you take the note on this, estimated new pool project, option two.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right, we have there's a motion that's been seconded. I think we've discussed this quite a bit. I think it's time to have a roll call vote, so I would like to ask for that roll call vote on whether we should proceed with an RFP to get some professional quotes from professional pool companies for a larger pool.
And can I just, I don't know if there's
I have one.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, I'm almost there, Director Graves, I'm sorry. This vote is very important right now, and for those that are residents that are listening, if it does not go out to RFP, the big pool is done. Am I correct on that?
If it is a no vote,
who yes,
or a this is
or a tie.
If it is a tie vote equals a no vote.
That's correct. Okay. Correct. I just want everybody that's listening, you're taking the time to sit by your phones. I want you to understand what we're doing here.
Roll call.
And then one further point of clarification is that if it goes out for RFP, we are probably 2 years without another pool. Even if we end up not accepting the price. We're at least a year without another pool. We've already robbed the citizens for 2 years of that recreation, and now we're proposing to rob them for at least one, if not two more years of recreation.
We're done. We are done discussing this. There's a roll call. We can go on forever, but we're gonna make this vote. So roll call vote, please.
Vice President Pateau.
No.
Director Graves.
No.
Director Mayer?
Aye.
President Peace?
Aye. So I'd like to ask staff to come up and take us to the next step.
Okay, so effectively, by virtue of the vote, the staff cannot proceed further with the RFP on the new pool. We currently have a contract in play still with Adams Pool Solution, and that contract is still active. However, staff needs direction if that's the way we want to go.
Well, we're talking pool. Is there any other from the board? Any other motions about any other options? Option number one, which is no pool at all.
We don't have to vote on each one, do we?
There's no motion.
So you do not, Mr. President, if I could chime in, General Counsel?
Yes.
Thank you. So you had a motion on the floor. It was a tie vote and a 2-2 tie. That is a motion failure. So the motion did not pass. You could make another motion to some other effect on any other option. Staff believes it's in a position right now that, as Mike just explained, that we have an approved contract and so that is not the question. We do have an approved contract voted on by this board. The direction to postpone moving on that contract is what has interfered or come in the middle of this discussion. So staff is still in limbo as to what the board's clear direction is. So in order to move forward on either option 1, 2, or 3, we would need a motion to make it clear as to what our direction and what staff's direction was. Or is, I guess it.
So you need a motion.
So.
The motion on option number 3.
If you said another way, if you don't do anything now, if you say, we're not doing anything tonight, nothing further is going to, nobody's going to make any further motion, then the end agenda item just stands, and we have no action for staff to follow.
Excuse me, General Counsel, we have already voted, we already have passed a motion unanimously with this board to refurbish the pool. Why do we have to vote to refurbish the pool if we've already voted to do that? We never had any other votes except for the one tonight with regards to the pool. Why do we need a vote to affirm a vote? That's a double vote for the same item.
Thank you for the question, Director Graves. The way staff is viewing this is we're viewing this that the action that was taken by the board was to approve a contract. That contract is in place. There was an intervening issue. There was an intervening issue that staff received unanimous direction, clear direction from the board to suspend that contract and consider a larger pool. So at this point, staff is still holding back suspension. We do have an outstanding contract, and we're not asking you to vote on the contract again. We're asking you to give us clear direction, and what is the direction that we move forward with now.
So what was the board meeting that the board voted to suspend the pool? I don't believe that occurred. I believe we made an agreement and gave guidance to the board, to the staff, to look into this. I don't believe it was a motion. The only motion we made was to spend $70,000 to look into it. Not to suspend, that was it.
You are correct. However, that direction.
So that's all the motion could be.
That's correct. However, the direction from the board was to suspend the contract and not tell the contractor to not move forward. As noted in the minutes of the meeting where the ad hoc committee was created, as noted in the minutes that were approved today, a decision has to be made as to which way staff moves, as to which way staff is directed. And direction is sufficient for staff to act upon.
Okay.
And so, and staff is looking for clear direction from the board as to which way to proceed.
So then if I understand you correctly, the board can either give clear direction tonight to move forward with the contract. If it doesn't, indefinitely there will be a hole in the ground behind the community center. That's your recommendation as our general counsel. Is that correct?
Not my recommendation. That is a fact. You are correct. I am not making a recommendation. I am merely stating the fact that we have approved the contract. The direction from the board unanimously was to hold on that contract. We don't have any other direction at this point.
Okay.
So we have a hole in the ground, we have an approved contract, and staff doesn't know what to do. Tell us what to do.
All right, I think at this particular point, staff has given us three options. Option number 3 for the larger pool, has now been dispensed. So there's two options. I'm looking for a motion for option one, which is no pool at all, or option two, to proceed with the refurbishment of the existing pool.
That's option three.
Excuse me, correct. So, do I hear a motion for either number one or number three?
I'll make a motion that the board proceeds with option number three.
Do I hear a second?
I second.
Is there any further discussion?
Yes, and this is to council. So if we vote against this, tell me what the scenario is.
The same position we were in before the motion was just made. Nothing would happen. We don't, the staff has no new direction. The last direction that we were received and the last direction that the staff acted upon was to suspend the contract.
Okay.
If this motion dies, contract still suspended and staff has no direction from the board.
Okay, and then a more difficult question may be that if we vote no on this, is there a possibility to resurrect the Build a Big Pool? I don't know if that's
a
question.
Well, there's always a possibility of somebody making a different motion that would otherwise create any of these options. One legislative body cannot bind another, and therefore, at any given time, this can be put on an agenda, it can be acted upon now, it could be acted upon later. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Director Mayor, Director Peace, I implore you guys to please...
Point of order?
Yes.
I implore you guys, please, let's make the right decision for the community. Let's put this issue to bed, allow staff to move forward, and let's utilize the other funds for other projects within the community.
I'd like to call the roll, please. Roll call vote.
Vice President Buteau.
Aye.
Director Graves.
Aye.
Director Mayer.
Reluctantly, aye.
President Peace.
I also reluctantly will agree to proceed. However, I do want to make some comments to the staff. This existing pool has been sitting here for now a year and a half, 2 years without any water in it. I know there's structural issues that are going to be corrected. There's existing concrete that needs to be removed and then put back together. I'm not sure of all the logistics of how you would do that and still make that existing concrete integral. But I would like to ensure and make sure that we look at the current state of the structure itself to make sure that no other cracks or deficiencies have taken place since the last time the contractor was on site. And if there is some, then possibly we're going to have to just do a little bit of structural change in order to make this pool I'll call it a warranty position. I certainly don't want to move forward with this and then we end up with another structural damage because we didn't investigate the current condition because we stayed off of the project so long. Is that my recommendation?
Mr. President, I'm sorry, when you have a moment, Mr. President?
Yes.
So, as Member Graves is correctly pointing out, this motion and this action was only to give direction to staff to move forward on the existing contract. That contract has already been approved, as Director Graves correctly points out, unanimously by this board. So if there are additional items or changes in the existing contract, that would need to come back to the board.
Well, that may be true, but what I want to ensure is that the contractor reinspect the existing condition of the current pool so that we don't have issues in the future. So that's my direction to staff is to have some sort of a discussion with Adams prior to them starting so that they can come on site and verify that no other failures have happened because the existing pool has been sitting there.
Staff understands that direction.
If I may, President Peace, if I may, first of all, let me say point well taken. We all want to make sure that it goes in properly. Thank you for pointing that out and making sure staff directs the pool contractor to be diligent in that. That's a very good point. But more than that, I want to say how difficult this decision was for me personally. I'm not voting against anybody or for anybody else. I'm just making the decision that I believe was the right financial decision for the district. And I want to thank the board for making that decision tonight, even though it was very difficult for us to come together on this. I just want to acknowledge my fellow board members and thank them for moving forward.
Appreciate your comments. And yes, it was an extremely difficult decision for myself also. But we've had this discussion long enough. We need to move forward one direction or another. I preferred a different direction, but we're going to move forward now with refurbishing and making sure that the integrity of that pool will be complete. So with that, we're going to move on to item number F2, discussion, possible action about the diffuser project.
Okay, we'll bring Ned to town, UGB, to discuss that item.
Why don't we take a 5-minute recess? We'll come back. It's 8:42 right now. We'll come back at 8:55. We'll readjourn at 8:55. Okay. It is now
the only thing I would say, Mr. President, is there are quite a few people that dropped off. I don't know whether they're intending on calling back or not.
I am going to take the professional gamble that they probably were more concerned with the pool and the next items. If they do come back on and are interested, I will allow them to comment. So with that,
good.
We're going to move
fine
on.
Fine gamble is at your discretion.
Thank you for acknowledging that. We're going to move on to F2, the diffuser replacement process. Staff, please.
Yeah, Gregory Harris, Herbert Engineering, District Engineer for the Town of Discovery Bay. So we've had several motions before the board previously on the diffuser project. Those motions include doing a field investigation to see if there's issues with the diffuser, hiring a specialty design firm to prepare a report to analyze how to repair the diffuser, and then hiring Ed Vizian to prepare the CEQA documentation, environmental documentation, and other things to support the diffuser. We're now at a point where we're going to bring, we need to start design of the new diffuser, and the repairs recommended in the report. And this proposal is from Advisian to provide the design services and continued coordination with the environmental agencies that they require during design, as well as a little construction support services for the repairs of the diffuser. The report did come before the wastewater committee previously, and the staff is recommending approval of the busy contract for $145,000. I would like to update the board on page 2 of the staff report, just the general budget for the project. So I went ahead and put down the budget for the project so the board could see roughly where we're at. There is a $500,000 budget in the CIP for this diffuser. And with the latest professional cost estimates from the consultants, we are running approximately $50,000 over budget. Again, we'll get a real bid at time of bid, but that's the estimate currently for the project. And that was updated recently based on certain interactions with Fish and Wildlife Corps of Engineers, as well as there are some interesting things going on in the construction market with COVID issues. Shortness of materials, things like that are escalating project costs. And then I believe Len Marino is available if there's any questions from any of the board members directly to Advisian. Are you online, Len? You may have fell asleep.
Yes, Gregory, thank you.
All right, so.
I'm here.
Len, you may have fell asleep in the pool discussion, but. He is available if there's any questions, but basically this is the next step in a CIP project that's already been approved several times.
Yeah, let me, before we move forward, let me reiterate to the other board members that weren't on the Water Wastewater Committee. The next four items we have discussed thoroughly at the committee, and we have recommended all of them come forward to the full board for approval. So if that helps in some of your thought process.
One comment.
Go ahead.
I agree with what you just said, but item number five, I'm still a little upset over the cost for a form.
Well, we're not voting on that yet.
Like it on
you can mind. Discuss that when we get to the item five. Okay, so is there any discussion from the board on this project? With that, I'm going to open up public comments. Are there, Mr. Moderator, are there any public that would like to comment on the diffuser project? Hearing none.
Right now, I'm not seeing anybody light up. I'm not seeing anybody in the chair. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll bring it back to the board. Do I hear a motion for approval?
I make a motion that we approve staff recommendation on item F2.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and approved. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice President Dico.
Aye.
Director Grace.
I can barely hear you, but it was me who votes aye.
Director Mayer.
Aye.
Director President Peace.
Aye. Motion carries. With that, we're going to move on to F3, discussion about computational fluid dynamics modeling. Yes.
Mike Ramsey, I just signed back in. I thought the meeting was going to begin again at 8:55. I just dialed back in and had a...
We just finished.
Maybe I'm confused. Are you on item F2 now?
We just approved that for a diffuser project. Do you have any comments on that item?
No, and I did have, but I think it's a little late. I'll talk to the general manager later. I just have curiosity about it. I'll talk to the general manager tomorrow. Thank you.
All right. We're moving on to item F3. Work for Sanitec. Go ahead, staff.
Gregory Harris, Urban Engineering, District Engineer, Town of Discovery Bay. The wastewater master plan that recently completed identified some deficiencies in the UV system at the town that we want to correct as part of the denitrification project. And they recommended a study or some improvements to the UV system, and then they had a budget of about $160,000 put aside for that. That is the current CIP budget for the project. And we met Santec on site and did some on-site flow measurements with them, as well as visualization of the issues. And Santec has come back with a proposal to do computer finite element modeling to help us resolve some of the turbulence issues in the UV system. And that budget is $54,000. The fixes are not going to be too expensive because we're just going to be sort of flattening out some wing walls and trying to smooth out the water flow a little bit. But we need to want to make sure we do the right thing with that, so that's why we need computer modeling. So this item has a CIP budget of $160,000. The engineering CFD modeling is $54,000, and that leaves around a little over $100,000 to put some little wing walls in and some other things. So it looks like we're on budget for that. This is an approved CIP item. And it's going to be developed as part of the denitrification project. As such, we need to get it started so that we can integrate that work with the denitrification project. And have any other questions for you?
All right. Any clarifying questions? With that, I'll open it up to public comment. Is there any public comment on this particular project?
Bill Helfrich, please.
Go ahead, Mr. Helfrich.
Is this all part of that $13+ million upgrade to plant number 2?
Yes.
Correct. Okay, I'm going to close public comment, bring it back, and do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Okay, I'd like to have a roll call vote, please.
Vice President Gatto?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Director Mayer?
carries. Okay, we're gonna go to item F4, for a water system assessment management plan discussion.
I believe our water engineer's on the phone. Justin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Please proceed.
Okay, thank you. Good evening. Thanks for having me tonight. Leading up to this meeting, just wanted to let you know we were working closely with the staff and also presented the scope to the Water Wastewater Committee, as noted previously in the conversation, to make sure that what we're developing in this asset management plan is going to identify future infrastructure needs over a 20-year planning in a way that's useful and practical for the district. The district does have a CIP that's currently budgeted for a water master plan or an asset management plan. Both of these are self-directed documents that are planning documents to guide decisions for future infrastructure and financial planning for water system. The current guiding document that we have is the water master plan that was completed in 2012, which looked at the full build-out of the system based on housing developments and the infill projects known at this time. And it also identified capital improvements infrastructure to meet those growing demands of the system. We're approaching the 10-year horizon of that water master plan. Once Well 8 is completed, which is currently underway, the district will have satisfied all the supply, treatment, and storage for build-out, and there's currently no new development projects that are just around the corner to necessitate a need for a new growth-based infrastructure planning document. However, we are approaching this horizon and looking ahead to future water system planning over the next 20 years. There's a growing need to understand the conditions of infrastructure and ultimately future costs related to maintaining infrastructure through refurbishment or replacement. Your assets and your system for your water system are what we're focusing on. Just briefly, that's shown on this staff report. There's 6 water supply well stations, each serving dedicated treatment facilities, ranging in age of 5 to 50 years. Varying degrees of maintenance has occurred on those and will be needed on those. You have 2 treatment plants that are fed by the dedicated wells that contain filters, tank pumps, all varying ages and maintenance needs. And furthermore, those treatment plants have varying reliability built into them for meeting your overall supply if you lose a well or a filter. And then finally, you've got 50 miles of distribution system serving the households with, again, varying ages and conditions affecting useful life. And district has, you know, experienced some maintenance needs recently and that has been growing, such as crossing failures, expending resources on service line leaks, and 25% of that main line is the original 50-year-old main line. So right now, there's a need to identify useful life of assets to be estimated and analyzed in a planning in a structured planning document. The focus of this framework of this is to organize and rank these assets to transition the district into a reactive approach to a proactive approach for addressing refurbishment and replacement. And overall, this goal is to maintain the desired level of service or the required level of service, which there will be a distinction made as we conduct that study of what is required and what is desired. For level of service or reliability, and providing that at the lowest life cycle cost. That's the overall goal. We're going to conduct this study in 3 phases. The first phase is a level of service analysis, which is where we define reliability based on water demand, system sizing, and criteria for redundancy. And we view redundancy such as if you have a failure of a well or a pump or a tank, what does that mean? How important is that component for your system? That'll serve later for the basis of risk analysis. In phase 2, we're doing condition assessments. Condition assessments will be structured according to asset classes I just described, the well treatment plant distribution system. My firm has expertise in groundwater wells, pumps, treatment systems, chemical systems, distribution modeling, database management, and we have institutional knowledge that is needed for the district to pull this plan together. We're also bringing on board with our team several sub-consultants to provide technical expertise in certain areas of the condition assessment. And that's outlined in our scope of work. I can elaborate if needed. By the end of this phase 2, there will be written technical reports identifying the condition of your infrastructure and the factors that will affect your life cycle, the estimated useful life, and the refurbishment needs for those assets. We'll go into phase three with that knowledge of those previous two tasks to develop a risk analysis and asset ranking based on these findings. And from there, we'll prepare an asset management document that provides future estimated refurbishment and replacement costs. It will be involving an implementation strategy, just like how we have capital improvement plans, but it will be focusing on your existing assets. And there will be a distinction made through the study for recognizing any emergent issues, you know, very kind of red flag issues versus planned replacement costs from a kind of a longer term forecast of useful life. The outcome is going to be a funding need projection for 20 years, depending on the lowest life cycle cost for any options that we'd be considering in here, and putting forth a strategy. So it's about having this initial assessment and this strategy for this ongoing monitoring and assessment, which would be updated over time. So you now have a framework that as you complete projects and bring in new information, you can update this asset management thought process that will be performed. Before I close, I just want to note that you know, the asset management plan is going to build upon other current PMP projects that the board has approved to go underway. So there's some useful information being provided from current CIPs, such as rehabs and filter repairs, things that are giving us condition information. And then also when that plan completes, it's going to help build upon other CIP projects that are already documented to help refine or focus the work that's needed, such as corrosion protection program and mainline programs, for example. So I'll leave it at that. Trying to keep it brief. I hope I succeeded there. And I'm just opening it up for questions. Thanks for letting me have this time.
All right. Any questions from? I just have one question. I know this is a very, very big project. It's an extremely important project for the town. What is our estimated time frame? If I recall, we're probably a year or so away for completion.
Yes. We are proposing a schedule of 16 months to complete the work. It could be expedited if there was a need to expedite.
Right.
But there's a lot of elements to the analysis, right. And like I said, we're relating it to other work from other CIPs.
You've answered my question. Thank you. Okay. With that, I'm going to open up to public comment. Is there any public comment on our asset management plan?
Yes, Mike Ramsey.
Go ahead, Mr. Ramsey.
I was looking at the report and listening to the presentation made to you. I'm wondering if you would ask the consultant to provide a little more in the way of a description of how they conduct their condition assessment, particularly the pipelines, to determine the viability of those pipelines for the next however many years. Are they doing running cameras through there? Just out of curiosity, how do they actually assess the condition of an asset like that? Thank you.
All right. Is there any other public comment? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and ask Justin to please real brief how we access and evaluate the pipe.
Sure. So we're going to provide, there's multiple levels of it. There's going to be indirect. Indirect is going to involve information we have available through geospatial mapping. So that'll be involved in the first half of collection of information. Pipeline break, age, material, any information we know about soil conditions, and comparing the conditions of historical maintenance and environmental conditions such as soil or corrosivity to relate to useful life of the different materials that are in there, compared to case studies primarily, as those factors affect useful life pipes. Then we're also doing direct measurement, and through the direct measurement, we're bringing in JDH Corrosion, who has extensive experience in underground pipeline failure assessment in this area, and I've been
conducting that are going to be very useful for what we're doing here. But they're going to conduct a systematized soil reusability mapping, and they're going to monitor. They're going to check in with all of the corrosion protection test stations in the district. They're going to take this information as part of their analysis and provide us with estimated useful remaining life, and give us a comparison of other studies that they've done to arrive at these factors. And it'll be a relative ranking, I would say. We don't know exactly when each and every pipe will fail, but we'll know relatively amongst the pipes within Discovery Bay which ones have the most likelihood of failure. Say looking at all the AC pipes, we see distinctions within those areas of AC pipes from historical replacements or the corrosivity testing that JDH is doing. Do we have areas that have more likelihood?
All right. But thank you, Justin. I think you've explained it very well. With that...
Hello, this is Bill Elfrick. I have a public comment, please.
Go ahead, please.
If I'm looking at this, it looks like you're going to authorize the payment of $225,000 for a three-phase project over 16 months. Why are we paying it all in advance? How come we don't pay for phase one when it's completed, and phase two when it's completed, and finally phase three when it's completed, rather than a total prepayment up front?
Your information, wherever you dreamed it up, is incorrect. We don't pay up front, and this will be a phased payment program, just like all the other projects that we have. This is just an authorization to proceed. There's no billing at this time, and no payments. Okay, I'm going to bring that back. Any other board discussion at all, or do I hear a motion?
We're just waiting for Director Gray.
Motion to approve staff.
There you go.
Second.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Vice President Buteau?
Aye.
Director Grace?
Aye.
Director Mayer?
Aye.
President Peace?
Aye. With that, we're going to move on to item F4, number F5, America's Waters Infrastructure Act, another federally mandated, unfunded project. Go ahead, Justin. Justin, are we there?
I was on mute, sorry. As you said, this is federally mandated. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, okay. America's Water Infrastructure Act of 2018 is what's driving the requirement for all water agencies to develop this risk and resilience assessment. And it provides the guidelines criteria for that. There's three different categories for size of system, and that drives the timeline and the due date. And we're in the smaller size category, and our due date for the town's due date for this assessment is June 30th, 2021. What is provided to the EPA from this is a self-certification from the district that it has evaluated the system and according to the regulation and has conducted this assessment. What the focus of this is from risk of natural and malevolent man-made hazards. It's a risk assessment of these according to criteria established by the EPA. This is a new requirement that hasn't been done by any water system conducting this structural directed risk and resilience assessment. So they developed a assessment tool for water systems to use called VSAT 2.0, because it's gone through several renditions, and it's aligned with the parameters of OEA. So they encourage, especially on the smaller system side, that just want to check the box, essentially to follow this, use this guide. And we've investigated it and looked into what's required and the elements that need to be documented and understood by the town in order to fulfill the self-certification requirements. and prepared the scope to get there for the town. And the work will involve a close engagement with the district staff. As I point out the staff report, I think it'll be very important to bring in all the different categories of the district, because it crosses the spectrum of management and infrastructure. And then there's guidelines that are recommended by EPA, which we will follow and are familiar with, which are the AWWA, Risk and Resilience Management of Water Systems. There's also a cybersecurity tool that we would employ using that to conduct an assessment of cyber process controls. So in the end, there's a report that is developed from this that identifies risks and proposes countermeasures to enhance resilience. But again, that report does not need to be submitted to the EPA, only a self-certification. In fact, that report will just remain in the interest of the district because it will contain their information about potential risks. I think that's probably the best I can do for that. I would say that after this is done, you should know there is an update that's required to the emergency response plan that the district, that every water system is required to have on file, an emergency response plan. But as a result of the risk and resilience assessment, the next requirement is 6 months after this is completed that the district would update their emergency response plan, presumably taking anything that they want to update because of new information identified from risks from this assessment.
All right, thank you. I do have one question. Being this is a brand new report, just dreamed up by EPA, how many other water districts are you folks working with that you'll be doing kind of their assessment? I know every district's different, so you just can't, it's not a cookie cutter thing, but the forms are, but how many other are you gonna be doing?
Okay, well, we're working on, I know at least one of our clients that manages a lot of smaller water systems throughout California, but some of their systems fall below the threshold and don't need to conform because they don't have enough population for it. But it's not a large volume. I think it's at least that one, and that I know of. And so, you know, I mean, it is a new requirement. That's my answer. I got.
All right, so you have two or three is all you're going to be doing. Okay. All right. I'd open it up to board discussion.
Justin, we're going to give them a form and $25,000. Is there anything we get in return?
Yes, you're going to get a report that's going to be generated. That's going to describe risks and potential countermeasures, as I described, and it'll be categorized according to different aspects of your system. So what physical barriers do you have to protect your system? An assessment of source water, storage and distribution. It'll talk about financial infrastructure. It'll talk about how chemicals are used and stored and handled, operation and maintenance of the system. Gathering this information will take a lot of interviews from us with different district staff to fulfill those requirements. But you will have a report that comes out of this that describes possible risks.
Okay, and the real question was, do we get a benefit from it? I realize you have to put a lot of data in. Are we the recipients of the culmination of that benefit us?
Yeah, you're the sole keeper of the information, in fact, because it's not submitted to the EPA.
I don't know if that answered my question. So for $25,000, what do we get for this? Are we a better company because we know more, or are we going to see results from all the others that have submitted this? Or is just this, is this just
the firm? I would like to say yes, because we don't have an assessment that's comprehensive like this that's targeted on really site-specific security. And from what I know, there hasn't been a global security assessment of the system. So I would say it will improve everyone's awareness of risks as viewed through this OEA framework. You know, right now, you know, what's required to be on file is what we have, which is an emergency response plan, which is a really cookie cutter document.
Okay.
That is not very site specific.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. With that, I'm going to open it up to public comment. Is there any public comment on our risk assessment?
Bill Helfrich with a question.
Go ahead, please.
How many systems are we serving? Are we serving more than 3,300 but less than 50,000?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so we have more than 3,300 systems that we're serving. Do we know how many we actually have?
We do, and it fits within this category. We don't have, finish your questions, please.
That was it. I wondered if we had 3,000 systems or 3,500, how close we were to the minimum.
We don't have that.
So thank you.
Yeah, you can check with the general manager, and he can provide that at any time you call. Any other public comment? Hearing no public comment, I'll close the public comment and bring it back to the board for discussion and or motion. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept F5 as recommended by staff.
So it's a motion to approve a staff recommendation. Okay, do I hear a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Vice President Buteau.
Aye.
Director Graves.
Aye.
Director Mayer.
Aye.
President Peace.
Aye. Okay, and with that concludes our discussion and action items. I don't see any manager's reports at this time. And I don't see any future agenda items.
I would like to add an agenda item.
Okay, Mr. Mayor.
I'd like an update on the next meeting, the first meeting of the month, of landscaping progress.
All right, so noted. With that, at 9:20, meeting is adjourned.